It's Dig Deep on Northern Community Radio. You can also catch us on our podcast through iTunes. I'm Heidi Holton, and joining me today, Aaron Brown, our liberal commentator, and Chuck Marone, our conservative. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Hey. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking one time we should introduce ourselves the other way. Because people, we're now into that tribal season where when people hear like, you know, that's my, then you're like inclined to listen to that person and be like, yes. So I thought maybe like one day we should just switch it and you can introduce me as a liberal and Aaron as a conservative.
Well, I did once and you got pretty heated. I called you a liberal. Yeah. I never want to do that again.
Maybe it's we do it as like a psychology experiment.
Okay. I've been told more than once by more than one person that I dress like a conservative.
You know, I like how you dress. So
yeah, that can't be good.
Aaron's sporting a Carhartt jacket today.
I am, work clothes.
Is that a Dickies shirt?
It's Dickies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do something a little different this time for Dig Deep. Election Day is Tuesday, November 6th. One of the biggest, most talked about races in the nation is right here in northeastern and north central Minnesota, District 8. And Pete Stauber is a Republican candidate. Joe Radinovich is the Democratic candidate. And it was an interesting lead up to primaries. It's an interesting race now. You guys are going to take each of the candidates and their opinions on these topics and kind of give us how they think about it and maybe do some analysis as well.
That sounds delightful.
All right. So in our first segment here, we're going to talk about mining and what these candidates are about or what they've put out there about themselves. Do we want to start with Pete Stauber or Joe Radinovich?
I'll start because I have research in front of me.
Yeah.
I think Aaron's going to be digging into the recesses of his brain. I tried really hard to get to the bottom of this. And I watched YouTube videos and did, you know, online research. And then, of course, went to the candidate's website. I was very impressed with Pete Stauber because unlike the president, when you went to the president's website during his campaign to look up, you know, what he thought about issues, there was nothing there. And you can contrast that with, I mean, this is a Republican thing, but Democrats tend to really like policy. So they'll put out the 45-page white paper with all the like sub policies they want to enact. Pete Stauber actually has, compared to President Donald Trump, has a wealth of information on his policies. On mining, he has one compound complete sentence. I'll read his position on mining. I support iron ore and precious metals mining, which employs scientific... Now, I'm not saying it's a well-written sentence, so cut me some slack. I support iron ore and precious metals mining, which employs scientifically based methods to ensure our environment remains pristine. That's the official Stauber position. And I did... he's got an ad out right now that is a hot take on mining. And he basically says, like, I support mining. Like, if we're going to do mining, let's do it. But let's make sure that we take all the proper steps to make it environmentally non-impactful or, you know, have the least, you know, we can do this and not have any real impact. So go forth and mine. And that's the Stauber position.
That's the position. Yeah. And I know you did it accurately because it's right in front of you you read it word for word. what's funny about that is that if you were to print off Joe Radinovich's slightly longer, but not much longer, position on his website, it would be very similar you just said. and we didn't mention, and we probably should, Skip Sandman is a candidate in this race as well.
I did not research his position.
I know his positions, and I don't want to give him short shrift, but the reality is he's an independent candidate, not very well-funded, and while he has an important role in this election, and he certainly has strong support from certain people, we are focusing a little bit more on one of the likely winners of the race, which will be the Democrat or the Republican.
538 gives Sandman less than 0.1% chance of winning the district.
Right. And as I've explained this, because he tends to pull more from the liberal side of the political spectrum, and he doesn't have a tremendous amount of appeal on the right side of the political spectrum, it's unlikely he would put together the coalition necessary to win a third-party race. So for those of you who are supporters of his, who are upset that we're not specifically talking about him, I just want to, I'll mention his positions in relationship to all this, but that's why we're focusing the way we are. And so what I say, it's interesting because Joe Radinovich seems to have a very similar position. This gets back to what I write about and talk about with Iron Range mining politics all the time. And that is that we have these huge arguments as though the argument is pro-mining, mining is good, mining is infallible, mining engineering and technology is infallible, and it must proceed at all costs or the range will die. Or, and then it's contrasted with a position that's often portrayed as, we need to stop mining because mining is bad for the environment and it has all these bad effects, and therefore we need to do something else. And I always point out that that's not the reality on the ground in northern Minnesota. We have a very big mining industry that has become very automated. So there are some unpleasant realities about the business in terms of its ability to economically save the region. And that part of the discussion is confusing and hard to follow, and therefore makes for very poor debate fodder in something like an 8th district congressional race. And that actually came out. They just had a debate this week, or in the week that we're recording this, the first big, I think, general election debate between the three candidates. And Stauber said his sentence or something pretty close to it, and then chided Radinovich for having a nuanced position, which, of course, nuance is bad. And Radinovich labored, and I say labored because it was at least perceived to be one of his weaker moments in the debate, though I don't know that he's wrong. He labored to explain the difference between supporting the mining companies and their desires and their their outcomes, and supporting the miners and the mining communities, the communities and the people who work in the mines in the area. And he tries to distinguish between the two, because really, and I've explained it this way many times, when a mine company or developer, really, is what they are. They call them junior miners if you like them, and they're called shell corporations if you don't like them. It's all semantics. But these companies come along and they say they want to build a mine. And what I always point out is that's the beginning of a negotiation between the people and the government entities and this private entity who wants to develop for a profit. And the negotiation begins, and the problem we've got in the politics of this is that a lot of people, including a lot of local elected officials, a lot of state elected officials, most of the Republican Party and a significant portion of the Democratic Party, believe that when a company comes and says they want to mine, that they've won some kind of prize, that some kind of lottery ticket has paid off.
Wait a sec. You love me?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and that the promises that these people are making in their negotiation tactics, in other words, the best possible light they could put on their potential project, they're believed as gospel because, again, you're saying that my prize isn't what it's promised to be. It kind of reminds me of the people who sell the vitamins in hopes of getting some kind of sales prize, and the sales prize ends up being like an inflatable chair or something, and it's supposed to be a nice piece of furniture, but it's actually an inflatable chair. And it kind of feels like that's the world we're in right now, where people believe that something really valuable is coming their way, and there's no guarantee of that. Now, I'm not saying that something valuable won't come our way. I'm just saying the reality of the mining industry is way different than the politics of the mining industry.
Well, and also, just to add to your narrative here, and then I want you to go on, there is this sense amongst, as Aaron describes it, I think Republican-minded people and a lot of the pro-mining Democrat, that if we don't do this like quickly, somehow the minerals under the ground will disappear. They'll dissipate. They'll go away, and we'll miss our opportunity.
Right.
As if this isn't something that, like, literally you could come back 10,000 years from now and have the same opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a stopwatch on this thing where, like, all of a sudden we're not going to be able to mine nickel anymore if we don't do it now. So I do think that kind of, for some reason, you get that wacky part of the conversation that kind of creates this artificial sense of urgency, mm-hmm. that I think is really a byproduct of the politics. It's clearly not a byproduct of the geology or the mechanical processes or anything else. It's a byproduct of the politics.
Yeah.
So right now, Radinovich and Stauber, they're pretty close in the, do you guys know what, like,
in their position?
In the race.
The polls are razor.
Yeah.
The last major poll I saw showed Radinovich up by 1 point in a negligible lead in a very close race. I've never heard anybody I've never seen anything suggest anything other than a very close race so far.
What if Radinovich wasn't as much like Stauber in his mining stance? Would it be very different?
That's where Sandman becomes an important factor in all this, because Sandman's position is in opposition to the non-ferrous or what they call sulfide mining, the particular kind of mining technique that they want to do. Before Scott Walker became governor of Wisconsin, Wisconsin actually had a statewide ban on this form of mining. It was lifted in the Republican takeover of that state, but it doesn't mean that they're mining any ore in Wisconsin. It just means that they lifted that particular environmental regulation. So that's the kind of regulation that Skip Sandman and the more liberal side of the Democratic spectrum might favor. The risk to the land, particularly the heavily watered watersheds of these, the Lake Superior watershed and the Boundary Waters watershed, the Rainy River, the one that goes north, these watersheds are too precious and important, too much fresh water at stake, too much natural habitat at stake, the number of jobs isn't worth it. That's the position that Skip Sandman holds. Which is an attractive position. If that is your issue, that is a very attractive position in this debate. Joe Radinovich does not have that position. His is more moderate. He would argue that we should only do this mining if it makes environmental sense, if we can prove that these technologies work, and he supports the exploration of that process. For a Democrat in the 8th District who is not a mining Democrat, in other words, anyone from outside of the Mesabi Iron Range region, is essentially faced with the argument, do I really support this mining or would I rather it not be there? And how upset am I about this? Now, most people outside of the range and outside of the environmental community, fundamentally to the base of their feet, don't care about this issue.
It's not the issue that's going to get them to the polls or keep them away.
It does not motivate them. And so a lot of people are going to vote in this race and they're going to vote based on is you the Democrat or is you the Republican? And they're going to make their decision fundamentally based on their partisan leanings, the feeling they have about the president, the feeling they have about life in general, culture, whatever. But for those who are motivated by environmental issues, they face the question is, will I support a Democrat who might ultimately support this mining if it pans out a certain way? Or am I willing to do that to get a Democrat elected? Or am I going to make my true feelings known by supporting a very intelligent man in Skip Sandman who articulates an environmental message very well, but is a little out of step with the majority of the district? Nevertheless, if you really feel that way, he becomes an option. Well, as you can tell, in a race that's separated by a hair, that could be a huge factor in who wins the race. It essentially means that Radinovich has to keep Stauber under, not under 50, but under 48 or even 47% of the vote. That could happen. But if Sandman gets 5, 6, 7% of the vote, that is a big problem for Joe Radinovich. It's hard to imagine him winning if that's the case.
538, which is, I think, it's my favorite analytics website for election, you know, prediction. It goes through this district. It has Sandman getting as low as 1% and as high as 7%. It's kind of the range. And that's a big range. From a strategy standpoint, if you're Republicans, you want that number to be as high as you can. And so making mining like a front and center part of the campaign is really a way to drive not your people there. You're not vulnerable on mining. But putting mining front and center, what you're doing is you're triggering the people who are uneasy about Radinovich and do they want to go over to Sandman? Because really, I think you could summarize Stauber and Radinovich's points. If you said Stauber, you're saying, I want to mine and I think we can take care of the environmental issues when we do that. If you look at the DFL and Radinovich, you're saying, I want to make sure we take care of the environment and within that context, we can do mining. It's the same thing. It's just a slightly different emphasis. Yeah. And that's why at the end of the day, like the policies wind up to be pretty darn similar. I mean, when we're actually saying like what's going to happen after the election in terms of mining, there's not much difference between the two major candidates. Sandman does provide like a very different option, which is I think the long-term impacts and ramification of mining have a potential to have so much downside that we should not even be doing this, or we should be doing it in like an incredibly limited way. And that is amongst a certain branch of progressives, that's a very appealing point of view. And if you're Republicans and you can make that the center of the campaign, you can drive a really huge wedge in your opposition.
Right, which is why you see Republicans really touting the mining issue. And you're right, it's probably at least partly a strategy to force Radinovich to defend both his flanks instead of just one. Because, frankly, his position is so similar to Stauber's, at least in the nuts and bolts of what he would do as a congressman, that it's kind of negligible.
It's negligible. Yeah. Yeah.
But because he's also trying to keep his left flank with him, he's got that problem. I will say, I've talked to Joe Radinovich about this issue a lot. I know him, you know, and this is one of the issues you talk to range politicians about. And his thought process on this is different than other range legislators. He is much more conscious, I think, of the environmental side of the equation than some others who in the range delegation would have been. And so he's kind of almost like, and this is never a good thing to say politically, but he's kind of like a Hamlet figure in this debate in that he truly does see both sides. He truly does understand it. He's vexed by some of the challenges and frustrated. I really empathize with his position because it's mine as well, which is, you know, we spend all this time fighting, winning and losing elections over this particular issue. And the reason it's so popular among some is because of the belief that mining will save us, will save these poor range communities that have struggled to keep up with employment, school enrollment, all the problems we've talked about on this podcast before that small towns face everywhere, but that especially on the range they face. And that belief, I'll just argue from my own point of view, is not true. It will not accomplish that goal. It will accomplish only temporary gains in certain industries for certain people that frankly will offset losses due to automation and market changes in the iron mining industry. So it's, and as Chuck points out, the ore is not only going to be there in 10,000 years, but it's been there for that long too. And we've known about it for at least 100, and they've never been able to put the work. Believe me, they would have mined this in the 70s if they could have. In the late 60s and early 70s, John Blotnick was all over this issue. He wanted mines up in Ely, just like the ones they're proposing now. They couldn't get the numbers to work. And that's why I say the reality of the mining industry is different than the... If you want to talk about where there's opportunity in mining, it's in, my goodness, are we ever going to get the iron mining industry to add value to its products made here on the Iron Range so that they're competitive in a changing marketplace? Because if we are wedded to taconite technology for too long, it's like, you know, making sewing needles or certain things that the market's just going to collapse on those things at some point. And if we're tied to that, then we're going to end up just like the UP, begging to keep our handful of mining jobs that we've got. And frankly, that's our future, is a UP style, you know, lots of mining museums, not many mines. If we want to avoid that future, we frankly need to talk about some of the other issues at stake in this election. So it's one of the frustrating things about the issue and why, you know, anytime mining comes up, I think Stauber smiles and Radinovich
cringes a little bit.
Girds his loins, they would say.
And it always gets just either for or against. For not or that against. This may yeah. not be a good business model for our
yeah.
future.
Yeah, and that's
range.
Hard to explain. It's hard to understand, and anything nuanced is really difficult to sell in a polar election environment, you yeah. know, where it's yes or no, blue or red or whatever.
It would be fantastic, and Aaron and I have talked about this a lot, it'd be fantastic to actually get to what does a range economic development strategy look like? Mm-hmm. And it does not look like a bunch of mining jobs. It looks like a very different, you know, it looks like ways to create value added out mm-hmm. of some of those things, ways to keep money here and have it circulate within the range, not just flow out to Walmart and McDonald's immediately.
What would happen if Pete Stauber said that?
I think it would be a distraction for his campaign message. I mean, that I think, you know, the reason I wanted to do the show the way that we're doing it is because campaigns are in themselves a distortion of reality. And, you know, I think Pete Stauber is a nice guy from all indications. He seems like a decent guy. If you sat down with him in a non-political season and had a discussion, he could probably talk to you about range job diversity and how we need to diversify our economy. In an election season, why would he ever do that? He is like got a home run issue right here. All he needs to do is pound on it. He looks good in it. It resonates with the vast majority of people who are going to vote. And it puts his opposition, he doesn't have to say anything negative, just positive. Mm-hmm. And it puts his opponent in like a really defensive position.
And specifically, it's probably not even a majority position in the district, but it's a majority position among a certain sect of swing voters. And he has a real opportunity to convert DFL votes to Republican votes if he hits this issue just right. Radinovich then has to play defense on the range. In years past, Democrats have never really had to do that much until Oberstar lost. And that means he has to run the risk of... One of the other things Joe Radinovich has to do is run up the totals in Duluth. He has to get big numbers out of Duluth to win this election. Duluth is strongly, as a general population, opposed to these mining projects. So he's got to get people excited about healthcare and some of these other issues, and sticking it to the president, he's got to get people excited about that, or he's not going to win because not enough people in Duluth are going to vote.
And I think our next issue is going to be immigration. And that's where I think we're also going to have an interesting talk about Duluth's role in this election.
It's Dig Deep. In our next segment, we continue the conversation about District 8.